Welcome to The Art Of, a multimedia docu-like series comprised of episodes that translate our journey of a deeper dive into understanding the vast world of creatives here in Cincinnati through conversations, visuals, and music. I, your host Deuces, creator and founder of this series, will be taking you on an immersive experience through Cincinnati's culture of creativity. At the end of each episode, we will present to you every platform and outlet you can tap into to check out this immersive experience and through other unique ways as well. Also, stay tuned to the end as we will be showcasing original songs via music videos to visualize and bring each character's story to life. In this episode, we will be talking to a true cultural change agent and curator phenomenon, Lex Nicole, who has brought the world of creating to the forefront. From Cincinnati Public Radio, this is The Art Of series. Let's go.
Hi, Lex.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great.
It's so good to have you here today.
I'm really excited.
This is The Art Of, and we are here with Lex Nicole, who is The Art Of curating.
Mm-hmm.
So, tell us a little bit, if you can,
yeah,
about you first. Mm-hmm.
Oof.
Who is Lex Nicole?
Lex Nicole, she is a really energetic and ambitious girl, you know, I guess you could also say woman now in these days. Sometimes I still feel like a little girl, but I'm a creative. I am a sister and a twin and an auntie. I'm a Black woman, and I think those are some of like the most important things about me that make me who I am and allow me to do the work that I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's a good description.
Yeah.
You are definitely a family person. You are always, from what I've seen,
yeah,
since I've known you, you are always with your family 24/7. Mm-hmm. You are always with the, what is it, your niece?
Yeah, Lavender. You know?
And which is a pretty name, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're always with your sister and stuff. So yeah, I definitely see that. You always bring them with you wherever you go.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's good to meet you, Lex Nicole, right, for the world to see. But
yeah,
how about you tell us about your brand? What's the name of your brand again?
So the Lex Nicole brand is a, I guess it's the essence of like who I am as a person and the things that I'm proud to represent, the things that I take passion in, that kind of take up space through art. So that, I guess, has the embodiment of a curator, which I didn't know I was ever going to be, but here I am being a curator to all of these wonderful arts, bodies of works, and all of my amazing like friends and people that I get to work with along the way.
Yeah,
yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. And you do have a very great surrounding, which is beautiful.
It's important to me, I think, to maintain quality, healthy, genuine relationships, especially here in Cincinnati. And that's also been like a huge, I guess, a contribution to my work in the ways that I'm able to show up in my work too.
Yeah, yeah, contribution with the people that you're around, it's critical when it comes to the craft of it.
Yeah, no, I agree. So I started when I was like 19 years old, producing these experiences, working with different creatives. Originally I started doing college nights.
So this is like a party.
This is a party, like this is like what birthed me being a curator.
So this is how you crafted.
Yeah, this is how this I whole... knew what I didn't want to do anymore.
Oh, okay, got it.
Yeah.
The trial and error stage.
Exactly.
For sure.
Exactly, exactly. So we just started throwing parties and I was like, I am not a fan of waking up and not remembering my night. So I was like, I want to do things that are intentional to my time. I want to do things that are intentional to other people's time. And I wanted to figure out how to create distinct memories that would actually impact people. And so that is like when I started to actually carve out my craft as someone who wanted to take up space in my community and someone who wanted to take up space within an artistic community with people. And so we started doing poetry events, in Clifton.
Oh,
and this thing just blossomed out of nowhere. When I tell you I had no idea what I was doing, I just put up information on a flyer and people showed up. And then people like waited in line to get in. And I was like, what is this? This is I didn't go to school for this. I'm not an artist. What am I doing here?
Do you think some of those people were from the college nights that you were doing?
Not at all.
No.
These were, what's so amazing about that is like when there's a void to be filled and you put like out a Batman symbol in the sky for creatives, they come flocking. So like you're talking about poets who that were driving down from Columbus and from Dayton, and for me, I hadn't even left Cincinnati yet. So I'm like, wow, you came all the way from those cities to support this event that, you know, she has no idea what she's doing. And so that's when I was like, knew it. That was the moment when I was like, okay, I actually have a responsibility now. Yeah. Like I have to do something that is like bigger than myself. And that is what birthed being a curator.
And what you did phenomenally throughout the years since I've been in the scene.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've always been inspired by the work that you've done, which is, you know, you always seem to, one, you always seem to go to the edge. You never do anything, like, it's never redundant. You know, you don't stay in one place. Like, you're always like, okay, like, I'm here. Now, I have three different ways I can go. Which way am I going to go?
Yeah.
You know, you never go straight. You always go up. And I like that.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah.
I appreciate you saying that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what I really want to ask you right now is, what does the art of curating mean to you then?
I think the art of curating is, it's a journey for sure. The art of curation is going on a journey, kind of surrendering to the idea that you might not actually know where you're going.
I
think the art of curation is absolutely rooted in purpose and alignment for me specifically.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Curating is tough, you know? You definitely have to be savvy, you know? Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, no, that's great. I love all that. It's curation is a beautiful thing, which is why I'm glad that we're here to speak about the art of it, you know? What I do want to know is what allows you to create?
What allows me to create?
Or curate.
Curate.
Yeah.
Create, curate.
Same thing, right?
Big umbrella. What inspires me to be a curator, I would say that I get to experience the world in a way, for me personally, that allows me to digest the things that I'm feeling, right? And that means like good or bad or ugly or sad. When I get to really, I guess, piece together that one specific emotion, like that to me is like, not only challenging, but it is super inspiring.
Yeah.
Because the thing that I always want to do within my bodies of work is I want to make sure that it's always relatable. And so when I have the opportunity to connect with people through art, like the intersection of those two things of people and art is like creating this new language, whether it's a newly found language or it's this unspoken language, right? Like Black people, we have like this cadence of language that some people might not understand, but you know what I'm saying.
No,
so you know what I'm saying.
I get you.
So I
get you.
I think that like that shows up too within art.
Yeah.
When I get to find like this cadence, this language that is relatable, but people who are in a place to receive it actually get to understand it, they get to digest it. And that's something that really inspires me.
I guess one thing that I do want to ask is, how does the use of your art for curation create disruption and social change?
How does my work as a curator create disruption and social change?
Yes.
Is a really awesome question, first of all. Second of all, I think that when I start to think about what it is that I want to do and what it is that I want to convey, my hopes is that I can create something that is beneficial, that is a takeaway for the people who are coming to the events and experiencing the works. And I would say that it's not meant to always feel comfortable or safe, right? It's a safe place, but it's not meant to keep you within a specific comfort zone.
Like
me as a
box.
Curator, yeah, and then you as an audience member, right? You're gonna come, I would hope that people come to my events and they say, okay, well, I've never been to anything like this before. Or, oh, wow, I didn't expect to think about this in that way. But it is really important to me where I'm able to take the things that I do and leverage it in a way that promotes for social and economic issues. One of the projects that I'm really passionate about that I'm hoping to continue to build on is a project called Red Light Jazz Room. I started it in 2017. And it started off as an initiative for musicians at CCM and other musicians within the city to have a platform on a recurring basis that gave them an opportunity to develop professional skill sets, to actually hone their crafts. So I wanted Red Light Jazz Room to be an opportunity for these artists to have access to quality resources. And now, years later, here we are, still producing Red Light Jazz Room. And there has been this tone of, how do I use Red Light Jazz Room as like a Trojan horse, if you will.
Which, by the way, the Red Light Jazz Room is an amazing project that you do. Every time I see it, whether I'm there or not there, it is so exhilarating. Like, I don't even know how to even, like, put it into the context that I want to put it in, but it's such an experience, and I feel like people really need to go check this out. Like, they need every, it happens every summer, correct?
Yeah, so it happens every summer. We do an entire series. This past summer, we did a 6-month-long series. We did one event once a month where we got to work with both local and national artists. One of my favorites are many amongst Manny Wells, who is a Lagos Afrobeat and Neo Soul artist. He's been one of my favorites for a very long time. He's been my vision board for even longer. And so the fact that I got to bring him here as someone who's a fan and then as someone who is a friend, I was like, okay, this is really cool. But the thing that I'm excited most about Red Light Jazz Room is, like, now that I've done all that I needed to do, right, to cultivate this, like, culture, I've cultivated a group of people that have a common interest within music, within jazz, within R&B, within funk, and now I want to bring this world of performance together with this world of social change and civic engagement. And to me, that looks like turning Red Light Jazz Room into a safe sex and consent culture campaign, where I'm able to create an atmosphere, if you will, that enforces safe sex, consent culture, and eliminates coercion, right? And so that sounds crazy, but I think as a curator, I wouldn't be within my right to take an opportunity like this one, right, where I've taken a platform that I've built and then also using it and leveraging it for things that are really important to our city, that are important to making people feel safe. And it's something that I'm very passionate about as someone who has been sexually assaulted, or as someone who hasn't felt safe in certain spaces. And I want Cincinnati to be a leader in that, right? I want my projects to be leaders and to pioneer safe spaces. But then I also want to, like, spread my wings and figure out how to kind of take up more space and how to create other opportunities.
It seems like I can understand the value of certain core experiences that allow you to be a curator, especially in your degree. Is there any other type of core experiences that you value that allow you to be the creative you are?
I would say that there are definitely, like, monumental experiences in my life that allow me to be the curator that I am. It takes a great deal of endurance to stay in this profession that exists with it being a curator, that I don't give enough credit to. And that is just being still and living a life for me, going through heartbreak, going through trials, tribulations, being told no, also something I value a lot, that are direct correlations of my success. Like, for example, right? I have done all of these amazing things. I have interned in all of these amazing places. I'm qualified for many things, right? Humbly, I say that. And I applied for a job during COVID, which was really hard, as you can imagine, as a creative, to get a job during COVID. And I wanted to, I think the position was like communications manager for some organization. And I had references from their CEO, I had references from their board members that all said, give this girl a job and interview her. And so when the hiring manager brought me in, we had great interviews, three actually amazing interviews, only for her to come back to me and say, I cannot hire you because you are overly qualified and I cannot retain you.
I remember you telling me this.
I said, babe, my bills aren't overly qualified. So, you know, we gotta figure this out.
You kept it real.
But the blessing in that, though, that became so monumental to me as an artist was when they told me no, a month later, I was given a grant and the opportunity to produce for the Love of Black Women that I would not have been able to do if I had taken that job. Because I was giving all of my energy away to someone else, right?
Yeah.
So I think being told no is something that I don't want to take for granted anymore as someone who's trying to be more present.
What is good, Art of fans? It is your boy, Deuces. I really hope that y'all are enjoying the episode, The Art of Curation. I just came to give you a reminder to please stay tuned at the end of each episode as we are going to be giving you original music that was curated specifically for each creative. As always, I appreciate your time, and I'm out. Deuces.
Tell us a little bit about your work there at Planned Parenthood, and how do you utilize that experience with your personal work?
So I am the special events manager at Planned Parenthood as of recently. It's a new role that I am filling. It's probably one of the first times that I've decided to take the work that I do into a corporation, mm-hmm. such as Planned Parenthood. And I couldn't really be more excited. I'm actually very excited, right? One, as a woman who inherently has her own passions and ambitions about women's health, someone who's gonna fight for a cause because I am pro-choice. I am someone who wants to fight for the advocacy and the autonomy of someone's body. And so with me already wanting to do like the safe sex and consent culture campaigns, I was like, this is perfect timing, right? This alignment is beautiful. But I think the things that I'm most excited about is being able to continue to uplift a really powerful message and mission, and really be able to align that with the endurance that I have mapped out for all of the things that I want to do within this community. Mm. And to have Planned Parenthood as the anchor to where I'm going to map out my next bodies of work is going to be very riveting and exhilarating and loud and innovative and educational, informative.
Bold.
Yeah. And I am very excited about the things that I can't say that I'm doing, but I am very excited. Very bold and loud things that I'm excited to do. And I'm mostly, I think, excited about kind of reintroducing society to Planned Parenthood socially and within, you know, the Southwest region of Ohio. And to really kind of create a face to who we are and what we do. Planned Parenthood, we want to be friends with everybody. We want people to come with their own ideas and perspectives, and we welcome that. And I think mostly we are not anti-discourse, right? Because without discourse, where would resolution lie, you know? So I think and for me specifically, as someone who will be leading the charge of how we show up from an events perspective and how we produce and carry experiences, I'm mostly really looking excited. I'm excited and looking forward to participating in the way that you all see us and the work that we do.
Yeah, I'm not too familiar with Planned Parenthood, as much as I absolutely should be. So I think creating that bridge on both sides and with the experience that you have is super important. And I'm excited to see what you do with that. Don't know when or where, but just know I will be there. I'll be there for all of that.
Thanks.
Yeah, so in this vast, vast world of innovation and challenges, contrasts and stuff, I just want to know, how do you prefer your success to be recognized as?
How do I want my work to be recognized?
Yeah, how do you want people to, you know?
I feel like that's a trap. How do I answer that humbly?
It could totally be a double-edged sword.
I think that if my work can show up in a way that creates residual impact on my community, then I've won. Right, it's this lasting effect on people. It's the memories that people can continue to say, oh my God, you have to go, and if you haven't gone, figure out how to go. It's the momentum towards, I think, the direction that Cincinnati's already moving in and has been moving in for a very long time that I want to just be a contributor to, a leader in, a pioneer of, and I get to do that alongside all of the other amazing people that are doing amazing things as well. So ultimately, I hope that people are able to recognize the intention behind my work. And with that, I just ultimately want to be recognized in a way that other leaders can say, okay, we want you with us because we can't do this without you.
Well said. Demanding proof with good intentions. So Lex, I really appreciate your time here. I think your experience is gonna go exactly as it should. And I believe, truly believe, that your impact in Cincinnati goes further than maybe even you believe. You've touched a lot of people's hearts, and that's the most important thing, right? So my last question is, what advice would you give a creative like yourself or anyone else when it comes to direction to help as a creative?
I think the advice I would give to other creatives and curators such as myself would be to lean in to whatever you're feeling, lean into whatever you're seeing, lean into being open, lean into shifts and having to pivot and redirection and setbacks and no's and yeses. Lean into all of it, and to not let certain obstacles that are present be the reason that they don't continue to reach for their outcomes.
Lean in.
Just lean in. Just keep going.
100%.
Just do it. Because there are times when the little girl in me wouldn't have never in a million years believed I was going to be here at all. Mm. I thought I was going to be a statistic, truthfully. I had no idea.
Well, you're definitely not. So, Lex, I appreciate your time. And the conversation was great. It was warming. It was monumental. It was necessary. If you can just give us an outro, right, of who you, of your name, your brand. Any final words? If you got like a saying, you know what I mean? Like if you with it, if you ain't with it, then get with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Something like that. So this has been great. I really appreciate you guys, you know, sitting down and talking with me. My name is Lex Nicole, of the Lex Nicole brand. I am a culture curator here in the city of Cincinnati, Ohio. And my favorite quote that I always take with me no matter what is, the service to others is the rent you pay for room on this earth.
And now presenting the musical piece inspired by the art of curating, written by Deuces. This is We Are.
It's harder to carry on. The streets getting tired and tired from doing wrong. And as a man, I'm placing brick by brick to build a home. I'm walking every mile that's fired and never God. I'm doing everything that I'm doing to play my part. I'm struggling and hustling, no, I'm talking to God. Jesus Christ, can you hear me now? I know it isn't hard. We know that life is hard, but it's way different when it's trauma. Watch my brother lose his mama while never having his father. Made it hard to believe there's no place to call Nirvana. So I promise my brother, no matter what, boy, I got you. I'm screaming out, what is life? See, love is real, but it's never overnight. We watch the world follow pain like it's right, until a message of a woman found and shed its light. And when she shed a light, I realized I gotta say that. Love, yo, we made that. Rhythm, boy, we made that. History, we made that. Beauty, y'all, we made that. The state of mind is where I'm saying that, so say it back.
So for the love of black man, black woman, let's sing. Summer falls, cold winter's trying to make the world spring. Family ties run deep. See what home brings. For the love of black men, black women, let's sing. We are the way, we are the love, we are the ones who change the world. The world, the world, the world. We are the way, we are the love, we are the ones who change the world. The world, the world, the world.
All black love is joy, even though black love is pain. And even when I cry through the sunshine, I smile.
Thank you so much for listening to The Art of Curating with our new feature, Lex Nicole. This series was created by Deuces Cunningham, directed by Deuces Cunningham and Nick Schultz, executive produced by Cincinnati Public Radio, VP of Content at Cincinnati Public Radio, Janelle Walton, produced by Deuces Cunningham and produced by Illico Media, director of photography, Fabio Souza, podcast edited by Deuces Cunningham, visuals edited by Nick Schultz and Fabio Souza, and music produced and directed by Deuces Cunningham. From Cincinnati Public Radio, this is the Art of Series.